Backstage with Mothership on Solid Rock Radio begins now. Hear the best in new music, artist interviews, stories from the road, and more. You are now backstage, and here's your host, Mothership.
Hey, everybody. Last week, I talked with Kevin Young about all things Disciple and Honor and Glory. I hope you enjoy the show. Kevin Young from Disciple. Hey, man.
Hi. How are you?
Good. So glad to finally catch up with you.
You're in Atlanta, right? So I'm representing you right now. Is that right?
Atlanta Falcons. That's right. Represent.
So I'm not where you are. My heart is where you are.
Oh.
There you go.
So I want to go back a little bit. The beginning of Disciple. That's been a long time.
Yeah, I don't remember much of it.
All right, so we'll just skip to where you start remembering things. So you were a founding member, right?
Yes, I was. When it comes to Disciple, I can give you more information than you probably want. I was handed a Christian rock cassette tape when I was 11 or 12 years old by my youth pastor. It was a White Cross tape. And he introduced me to Petra, the This Means War album. And I instantly fell in love. Shortly after that, around 13 years old, I think like eighth grade, I had some guys in middle school that started a band and was like, we need a singer. I said, I'll do it. And we had this, you know, drummer that was kind of like, it was just his hobby. And I was like, well, I know this guy, Tim Barrett, who's a really good drummer. I go to church with him. I mean, he could play with us. And we wrote these three songs. And one of them was called Come Out of the Darkness. One of them was called Suicide. And one of them was called Disciple. We were like, what should we call ourselves? And, well, we got this song called Disciple, so we'll just call ourselves Disciple. And I was in eighth grade, and we played our first and only show in that lineup. It was two guys I went to school with, and then me and the original drummer, Tim Barrett. We played those three songs. That was September 22nd of 1990. So really, Disciple goes back even further than 92. My first show in Disciple was September 22nd of 1990. But then those two guys didn't want to play music with us anymore, and so Disciple just sat on the shelf for a couple of years, and then me and Tim got together and we started praying for God to send us a guitar player. True story. 2 weeks later, we met Brad Noah, the original guitar player of Disciple. We had our first band practice in December of 1992, and the rest is history. I didn't know how to play bass guitar. One of his buddies was our bass player for like 3 or 4 months, and then he quit, and I didn't know how to play bass, but I was like, how hard could it be? I play piano, so I had a pretty good grasp of music and what notes needed to be played. I just didn't know how to do it. I was like, well, what's the notes? Show me where the notes are on the fretboard. And I just figured it out. And so I literally just learned bass on the fly and was the bass player for Disciple for the first 10 years of the band.
I remember those days. I remember seeing you on the bass. Do you ever still pick up a bass or no?
I mean, goof around. I'm not a very good bass player. I never had any intentions of ever becoming a good bass player. I never put the time and effort into it. It was more of a necessity, really. We finally ended up, you know, finally hiring a bass player after years and years and years of me doing it. And I got tired. I felt like the standing in front of a microphone stationary, I just felt like our show was a little bit boring, you know, of me standing there, that I wanted to move around and try to have a more entertaining, exciting and energetic performance. I'd get so excited when a song would not have any words, so I could just, you know, go around, jump around, have fun. And so I was like, we got to get a bass player so I can just go around, jump around, have fun the whole time, you know. So, yeah, the briefest of histories.
A good summary, because that's a long time ago.
It was a long time ago, man. A long time ago. And we recorded two albums that nobody's ever heard that were our local band albums. Because in December 92, the other thing is I was 16 years old. So I was a junior in high school. We recorded our first two albums, one when I was a junior, the next one when I was a senior. And obviously, we're high school. We don't have any money. So we would go to Krispy Kreme donuts and load up our cars with Krispy Kreme donuts and then go door to door, knocking on doors and saying, we're trying to raise money for our youth ministry is what we said, because it was a youth ministry. And that's how we funded our first two local albums. And, you know, and they're not very good, but, you know, it's like sometimes you got to write the bad songs before you get to the good ones. And so nobody's ever really heard those. We don't publicize those because now we're trying to make a living. We don't want anyone to hear any of that.
Ignore the donut songs.
Yeah, they sound like those songs were recorded on donut money for sure. Yeah.
The longevity of Disciple, what do you attribute that to?
You know, I tell the guys all the time, you know, that this is what I'm called to do. Not everybody's called to do it. And some guys are called to do it for a season. This is what I know that I've been put on earth to do for now. Mm-hmm. And if God ever tells me to do something else, I will. I just want to follow him, serve him, love him. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is what he put me on earth to do. And so it doesn't matter if we are driving across the country and 8 people show up, I'm going to do it. And if we drive across the country, 80,000 people show up, I don't feel any differently about the opportunity.
So you felt like it was your destiny, pretty much, that you were going to be a musicianary from when you first started.
Yeah. You know, when I was 12 years old, and I try not to get into denominational things that separate people, and disciples very middle of the road with Christianity. We talk about things that most of us can agree on. But my story is not that. My story is I did grow up in a very charismatic church. And when I was 12 years old, this lady prophet came to our church, called me up in front of everybody, told me what sin was going on in my life, which scared the crap out of me. And then also told me that I was going to have a music ministry and was going to go all around the world and preach the gospel. And I was playing baseball at the time. I wasn't even in a band or playing music or anything. I was 12. I was listening to music. I wasn't playing it. And so from that moment, I just knew. I was like, I don't know why he chose me. I'm an okay talent. I'm okay at everything, great at nothing. He always surrounded me with very talented people. And I've had a heart to win people to the Lord and had a heart to speak. And he's really gifted me in that area to speak. And he made it very clear that's what I was going to do with my life. And I've not been perfect, and I definitely don't deserve his calling. I've made a lot of mistakes and sinned my biggest sins as a Christian, you know, as they say, you know, like some people sin their biggest sins and they give their life to Jesus and turn their life around. I sinned all my big sins after I gave my life to Jesus. So my testimony is not about how he's changed my life. My testimony is how he has been faithful and just loving and has still wanted to use me in spite of my unworthiness, in spite of me letting him down. And it, you know, it's just not about me. It's just not. I don't deserve this. And he's just used me to do great things. And he just deserves all the credit, all the glory for all the good things that's ever happened with us.
What is your favorite scripture and how has that shaped your life?
Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. I went to a White Cross concert in February of 1990 and met the lead singer. And he wrote on that little 8x10, he wrote, "To Kevin, trust in the Lord." Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And so instantly, when my hero wrote that verse down, it became my favorite verse. And that verse has meant more to me than you could possibly imagine. And that verse is, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of your ways and he'll direct your path. And you know, when you have a verse that says, don't lean on your own understanding, that's a weird thing to say to people because nobody wants to trust in things that they can't understand. And especially when it comes to God, you know, you want to have him all figured out. You want to know everything that there is about him before you trust, you know, kind of like going to the doctor and getting surgery. You know, you want to know as much information about it, you know, whatever, but you would never be able to know as much as the doctor, right? And no one gets on an airplane knowing all there is about jet propulsion or, you know, aerodynamics. You know, you get on there and trust. But when it comes to God, we don't have that kind of trust. But I've learned that if he's God, then there's no way that I can know what he knows. And there's no way that I could understand what he understands. And at the same time, if he is bigger than anything and all these things like jet engines that I don't even understand or the planet planetary systems and just every possible thing that is complicated, that is beyond my understanding. When I think that God is even above that, and then he says, look, you need to trust me sometimes because there are things that I'm going to do in your life that you're just not going to understand because it's going to be above you. And there's moments you're just going to have to trust me. And then he says, look, I just want you to acknowledge me and I'll take care of it. And what I feel like that means is like whenever we take a step acknowledging him in all of our ways, that he literally takes the path that we're supposed to be on and just slaps it right under our feet. You know, that we can't take a step in the wrong direction whenever we're acknowledging him in all of our ways. And it's been a really wonderful verse that takes away, it strips away a lot of my anxiety and a lot of my fear, a lot of my doubts, and just helps me to to know that whatever direction he's got me on is the right one, that I don't have to worry about it.
Backstage with Mothership returns after this. Out Performance Shop is a proud supporter of Solid Rock Radio. They specialize in retail and wholesale of automotive high-performance racing and off-road products. They also carry a variety of accessories from remote control cars to rock and roller multi-carts. On the web at outperformance.com. Check us out on Facebook at I'm with Mothership.
Now, I know you've got a ton of stories, but can you just pick out maybe one inspirational story?
I love this story so much. We were writing the Scars Remain album, and by this point, we had been a band for 13 or 14 years, and I usually like to write about whatever I'm going through. It's really kind of a source of therapy and medicine for me to write about whatever I'm going through, and I'd kind of written about everything, and I didn't really have much to say, and really didn't have a lot of stuff going on. And started to get writer's block and just was like, I couldn't write a song about anything. And we were on this record label. We just put out our self-titled album, which did pretty good. It had songs like Rise Up and The Weight Is Over on it. And we were trying to write an album that was better than that. And I mean, I just was depressed because I couldn't write anything. And I just remember getting on the back of the bus and I was praying and I was like, God, I was like, I got nothing to say. If you've got any ideas, you know, if there's something that you want to say, you know, then I'll say it. Whenever you want to say, I'll say it. It's almost like in that moment, he goes, finally, you ask me if there's something I want to say. You've spent 13 years,
ouch,
you know, saying everything you want to say. And then now, finally, you ask me if there's something I would like to say. It really did feel like that. And the moment that I prayed that, God, is there anything you want to say? I'll say it for you. Is there anything you want to say to this generation? I'll say it for you. The moment I prayed that, I started getting these lyrics and these words, and it was the song After the World. And we took it to the record label, and the song is written as if God is speaking. And the record label was like, this ain't going to work, guys. This ain't going to work. You can't write a song as if you're God speaking. They're like, that doesn't work. Christians don't like that. You know, radio stations aren't going to play it. And I literally said to the record label president, I said, radio stations don't play us anyway. So what do you got to lose?
Yeah. You got no dog in the fight anyway, right?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, we're stepping up to the plate every album. They don't play it anyway. Don't worry about it. And he said, all right, fine. And we put it out, and radio stations started playing it. Like, God did this Jedi mind trick on all these radio stations. They started playing it. And after it went out, and it was our first number one CHR single. And we met this girl, and I believe it was in Colorado somewhere. And she came up to me after the show. She said, can I tell you my story? I said, yeah. She said, 2 weeks ago, I tried to commit suicide. This was like 2006, 2007. And I'd never really heard very many people say that to me before in my life. And this may have been even the first time that somebody had said that. And my heart just started beating really fast, and I just started getting really nervous and was just like, oh my gosh. I was like, you know, she had my undivided attention. I was like, what happened? And she said, well, there's a lot of things that went on in my life, and I felt like I just didn't want to live anymore. And so I wrote a goodbye letter to my friends, wrote a goodbye letter to my mom, dad. And she said, so I just decided, well, I've never prayed before. She said, I didn't believe in God. And said, well, I'm getting ready to die, so I might as well pray this one last time. And so she prayed, and she said, God, if you really love me, and if you've seen all the things that's been done to me, and you see all the things that I've done, and somehow you still love me, she said, then I don't want to read it. I don't want to feel it. I don't want to know it. I want to hear you say it. And man, my eyes just got so big, and I was just like, you prayed that? She said, yeah. I said, what happened? She said, well, I said, amen. And she said, I felt like my hand just was just guided, just reached over to the radio, and I just turned the radio on. And she said, and the moment I turned the radio on, these words came out of the speakers and said, I'm the one you've been looking for. I'm the one you've been waiting for. I've had my eyes on you since the day you were born, and I love you. When the rain's falling down, when the sun goes down for the last time, I love you. I'll have my eyes on you after this world is no more. And she said, I asked him to say the words. He instantly said the words. I dropped my knees and I gave my life to Jesus right then and there. And I just look back at that story, and you just think all the way back, how it even came about. I had writer's block. I was depressed. I didn't have anything to say. It took me getting to that place of just asking the right question. Not only that, radio stations wouldn't play it. Even the record label was like, the song's not going to work. And I was like, who cares? And that same story, Cindy, I have heard it 12 to 15 different times, and it's almost exactly the same with somebody else. There's a guy in Arizona I met last year who said the song came on and he literally pulled his truck over and gave his life to the Lord right then and there. Was suicidal. Wow. This exact same story. Like, I can't even tell you how many times. Again, that's just, I can't take credit for that. I didn't do anything.
God speaking.
It's just him. This is, he just does crazy, amazing stuff like that. And you hear it and you're like, this is insane. You know, trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't let anyone understand. You're not going to figure it out. He's doing his thing, and it's way beyond what I can even understand.
You are surrounded by some insanely talented people.
Yes.
You've got Josiah and Andrew and Joey. I mean, all write music, all do producing, all fantastic musicians. Mm. What the heck? Are y'all just writing music all the time?
Yes, we are writing music all the time. And I'll tell you this, they're even better humans. They're even better friends. They're amazing, amazing human beings. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're writing all the time. We just finished our Honor and Glory worship record a couple months ago. It came out. And now we're writing the new Disciple album. As a matter of fact, next Monday, Joey's going in to track drums on the first four or five songs.
Awesome.
So it's on the way. You know, we're working really hard at it. And
what kind of timetable?
I don't know when we get it done. It's in progress, though. It's happening. The biggest negative with so much talent around is that there's so many songs that actually never get recorded that are really, really great, really good songs.
Yeah.
And that's a byproduct of just being surrounded by guys that are just so talented, you know?
Yes, that is very true. It's insane.
It is. I cannot believe all the things that they can do, just about anything. Joey's so good at drums that Andrew and Josiah could write demos with fake drums, and they'll come up with these computerized drum parts that should never be able for a human to do, and they're just like laughing about it. They're like, oh, look at this ridiculous part, and they'll just be laughing, and I just put this in here just to be funny or whatever, and Joey will hear it and he'll be like, oh my gosh, what are y'all trying to do? You trying to kill me or whatever? I'll never be able to do that, whatever, those kind of things. And sure enough, a week later,
5 minutes later,
play it. Yeah, he can play it exactly like what they did. We're like, oh my God, are you kidding me? How do you do that?
He takes that as a personal challenge.
It's almost like he says challenge accepted, and then just goes out and does it. And he gets so mad when he can't do something. He gets so mad he'll sit there, and just keep going until he finally can do it. It's so funny to watch him. He plays to win till he wins it, as the disciple would say.
Yep. I guess I've been doing this for a little over a year. Your guys' names come up all the time in interviews.
Yeah.
The bands I know in this genre help each other in so many ways. You don't hoard the talent.
No.
You share it.
Yeah. I think we really believe that. Somebody said that over us when we were really, really young, like far back as 1994. I think somebody, felt like they had a word from the Lord that we were going to be a band that disciples other bands, you hear that and you're just like, what in the world? These people say the craziest things. They really just help out, and take a lot of guys under their wing and just become involved in so many things. And, I tell a lot of bands, I remember telling the guys from Remedy Drive one time, David, he's like, this blew his mind. He went over and told his brother, he's like, you're not going to believe what Kevin said. But I just believe this. I was like talking about being competitive and talking about opening up for bands or headlining or, blowing another band off the stage or somebody other band doing with it. And I just told him, I said, man, I need you to do good. I need you to be awesome. Mm-hmm. I need you to go up there every night and be the best Remedy Drive you can be. I need you to go up there. I need you to write great albums. And he was like, what are you talking about? I was like, because if they like you, they're going to like me. If they hear one Christian rock band that's not any good, they're not going to find the rest of us. I was like, I need you to win. He was like, what? I was like, no, we're in this together, man. We're all on the same team. We are Christian rock music. I need Christian rock music to be awesome. I need all these bands to be awesome. I don't care if one is bigger than me, smaller than me, or whatever. We need to all be awesome. Because when I was a kid and introduced to Christian rock music, I loved them all. I didn't think I didn't look at, you know, one as like, oh, this band sold more records or this band has more hits or whatever. They were all mine. I took ownership. They were my bands. It was Bride and it was Guardian. It was Striper. It was White Cross and it was Petra. And I was never thinking one was better than the other or one sold more records. One was bigger and had bigger concerts. They were mine. And and so I had that mentality early on. It's like, you know, these guys, they're a band of brothers. You know, they're all working together to change my life. And so, yeah, I need Skillet to be great. I need Red to be great. I need Thousand for Cuts to be great. I need Remedy Drive to be great. I need The Protest to be great. I need Chaotic Resemblance to be great. I need them all to be great, because if somebody likes them, then they're going to probably find us too, you know.
It's a confirmation of what I've heard from other bands too, about how you have pulled them aside and given them some great advice.
Advice. Yeah, I don't know about that great advice, but thank you.
Not at all. Come on, Kev.
You're listening to Backstage with Mothership on Solid Rock Radio.
This hour of music is made possible in part by our business ministry partner, TPI Professional Print and Marketing Solutions, specializing in posters, flyers, banners, and more. Rethink your print. More info on the web at printingandaiken.com or by calling 803-226-7898.
Okay, let's do something fun. So if I was to climb on your tour bus, what am I going to find in your food cabinet?
Brisket sandwiches that somebody made the other night. You're going to find some leftover Qdoba, Monster Energy drinks. They like cold brew coffee as well. Mm-hmm. If you open up the freezer, you're going to find Andrew's jeans from the night before. It's very interesting.
What?
Yeah. So he doesn't wash his jeans on tour. He takes his jeans and puts them in the freezer, because some of them, about freezing them, takes the odor away. And he'll come up, you know, and put his show clothes on and freezing cold jeans.
I won't be going into y'all's freezer anytime soon. I just can't imagine putting on freezing cold jeans. Are they like stiff from sweat?
I have never touched them, and I never will. I'll let you ask him. There you go.
Who's always first for bus call?
Huh. I think that's different every time. Let me ask this question. Hey, Josh. She's asking me who's always first to bus call. We know who's last to bus call. Josh says it's him or Josiah is usually first to bus call.
Okay. Josh over there.
Yeah. Dane is in honor and glory with us. Him and Dane are playing Rocket League right now.
Okay. Who's last?
So last is for sure. I'm second to last, I would say, probably. Wouldn't you say I'm second to last? Yeah. Last is for sure Andrew Stanton. He's a tour manager now. I don't know how he's done since tour manager. I don't feel like he's been last every time. But before that, 100% of the time. I always joke with him because I live about 3 hours away from bus call. Mm-hmm. And he lived about 5 minutes away from bus call.
So he was the last one there.
I'd be like, man, I know that long drive you had to get over here. Probably ran into some traffic, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think it's true anymore, but it was true at one time.
Have you ever left anybody at a gas station or a venue?
Yes. And I don't remember who it was. Have we ever left somebody at a gas station?
Yeah.
Okay. Who was it? Was it Joey?
Yeah, we left Dylan at Guitar Center.
We left Dylan, who is from Relentless Flood, at Guitar Center. And I think we left Joe at a gas station one time. That's a very rare.
Correct.
Yeah.
I knew it had to happen at least once. You guys practically live together. So how do you keep yourself sane and keep from strangling each other?
We're best friends, you know, and so it's just different. I'd say in the other versions of Disciple, you know, what we call 1.0, 2.0, you know, we kind of just reach our limit, you know, with each other and just kind of, I remember 1.0, we'd get home, we'd just get in the cars and go home. We wouldn't even say bye to each other. It was just like, dude, man, get me out of here. But these guys, you know, we have a really strong friendship and really enjoy each other's company. Mm-hmm. And there's nobody that going off and doing anything by themselves. Usually, you know, we're always like hanging out together, going to movies together, going to the mall together, going to see Mount Rushmore together or whatever, you know, we really love each other. And that's not to say anything bad about the 1.0 guys and the 2.0 guys, because they're all great guys. But it's just the friendships that have developed with this version of the band. Yeah. It's just really, really, really special. And just we just enjoy being around each other. So there really isn't ever that, you know, like, get me out of here kind of moment that have to do with each other. It might be more get me out of here just because I want to just go home and be with my family, you know.
Do you ever forget lyrics?
Oh, constantly. And the older I get, it happens more and more. So I've had to start last 2 or 3 years and start like running the lyrics before the show, that I have to literally run every verse. I sometimes don't run every chorus, but I have to run every verse to every song before the show. Doesn't matter how many times we've done it. If I don't put it in my mind before the show, it's 50-50, whether yeah. I'll say the right thing or not. You know, I've missed like a word or two and then got back on track, you know, our show last night. So, yeah, I mean, it's a difficult thing remembering all those lyrics. Or back in the day when I was younger, man, I had every song cataloged up here. I didn't have to think about nothing. I didn't have to try. I didn't have to work or whatever. Just boom, just had it. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, you also have a pretty extensive backlist now.
Well, I don't know if it's that I'm older or that I've just headbanged all of my brain cells, you know, to where they're just a little.
Could be.
They might be a little damaged.
Leaking words, rattling out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, I've heard of guys that actually, like, tape the lyrics, you know, like, on the front of the stage or have, like, an actual monitor.
Teleprompter.
Words. Yeah, giving mm-hmm. them the word. If I had that, I would use that for sure. That would be a great resource. You feel more confident because there's a lot of panicking on stage right before you're supposed to say the line, and you're like, can't remember what it is, and then it instantly comes to you like right before you say it. Y'all see that in the audience. There is a ton of panicking every song. Like, what is it?
Let's talk a little bit about Honor and Glory.
For people that don't know, how it differs from Disciple and why it's a completely different project.
Yeah, it's our worship album. And I used to lead worship for about 9 years at my church. Worship has always been a big part of my life. It's one of my favorite music genres to listen to. People have always asked us, you know, why don't you guys do a worship record? And, you know, there's a lot of hesitation with us doing worship under the name Disciple, because we'd seen some of our friends do worship albums under their rock band name. You know, Skillet did a worship album. Cutlass did a worship album. Third Day did, you know, a worship album. And Petra did a worship album. And it seemed like, you know, that for a lot of guys, it opens them up to a bigger audience. Sometimes their worship album would do better, you know, and it would do better than their rock stuff. And so what is a record label going to ask you to do if you've got one good worship record? What are they going to ask you to do?
Part two.
They're going to ask you to do another one. Yeah, exactly. I didn't want to do that. You know, our calling and our mission is to reach people through rock music. And I don't want to mess with that. And so if we want to do a worship album, it's got to be separate. But it can't be a Disciple. I don't want people buying a Disciple album and ask the question, what are they doing? You know, what is it?
Oh, no, they've changed.
Oh, no, they've changed. Because everybody always just assumes they know the hearts and minds of the band whenever they hear an album. They're like, oh, this is what they're doing now and forever. You know, we're great friends with Cutlass. And I've seen Cutlass went out and they, you know, just had these incredibly popular, successful worship albums. And, you know, maybe they would disagree. I don't know. But I feel like it was difficult for them to try to come back to the rock, you know, that they wanted to do. And, you know, now they're recording with Josiah, is producing their new record. They're recording a rock record that is really hard. But I mean, how many years did it take them to get back to that, man? You know, we just kind of watched that. We're like, we don't want to go through that. We don't want to do that. And even the record label that we're on right now, you know, begged us to do it under the name Disciple. They were like, you know, no, we want you to do it under the name Disciple. Well, you'll sell more records that way. We were like, no. So I don't know if I'm right or wrong. It's just that it was a strongly held belief that we had that we were going to keep it separate. Mm-hmm. And it's been so much fun. We played an Honor mm-hmm. and Glory set last night. It's just different. You know, Disciple's entertainment and evangelism. You know, and Honor and Glory is just worship. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not jumping around. We're not, you know, putting on a show. We're just worshiping God, and just the audience is just worshiping God with us. And it's a really beautiful thing. I think every time we do it, we walk off stage, we're honestly refreshed by it. It's just different. It's very special.
Yeah. And by the way, you have a vocalist that is not in Disciple that is in Honor and Glory.
He's back there right now, Dane Allen. He's just a great friend, a great human. He's also the lead singer of a band, Loyals, who's also a tooth and nail artist. We've loved him for a long time, and just any time we get a chance to do anything with him, we're going to do it. And I still can't believe that he plays in Honor and Glory with us. He's too good.
That's a self-titled album, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And that is out in all different kinds of platforms?
Yes, it is.
You also have Patreon. Tell us about that, too.
That's one of the coolest ideas the guys have come up with. I think they saw some other artists doing it, and they said we could do something like that, you know. So they came up with the idea to start this thing called the Rebel Society. And the easiest way that I can describe it to people is it's like a Netflix subscription. It's like Netflix for disciple fans. That's the easiest way I could describe it. You can join the Rebel Society through Patreon at patreon.com for like $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, all the way up to $50 a month. And each tier gets you something different. I think for just $1, you'll get 3 acoustic albums. And each tier unlocks certain content that people can watch. Joey's got a show. Josiah's got a show. Andrew's got a show. I've got a show. Then we all collectively do a show called Story Behind the Song. Acoustic performances, brand new, and every month. We also do Zoom calls with our Rebel Commanders. That's the $50 a month tier. And also Rebel Commanders don't have to pay to come to shows. And anytime we have any merchandise come out that's brand new, they just get it automatically shipped to their house. And so it's been a huge blessing to us to have that support from people, but it's also, you know, they're big fans, you know, they just get to interact with us and encounter us in a different way. It's been a lot of fun. One of the best ideas the guys ever had.
Well, I would venture to say that you've got some of the most dedicated fans of any bands I've ever encountered, and I've encountered a lot of bands.
Right.
What is your secret weapon?
You'll have to ask them. I would say the reason that I became such a huge fan of the bands that I liked was because they were so evangelistic. Those types of bands discipled me, and I really picked up on what they were doing, and it formed me, so to speak, and what I wanted our band to be like. You see that in us, and I feel like that kind of sets us apart. The same reason that I loved bands that did that, that I think that might be a reason that people gravitate towards us. Maybe there's other reasons, but that's just my best guess. Maybe we're just a really good band. I don't know.
Well, jokes aside, I think maybe it's a combination of things. You're evangelistic, you're a great band, and you're responsive and very personal with your fans.
Sometimes. Sorry. Yeah.
I should see you at Loud and Proud Festival in Betzdorf, Germany for the first time. You've done Christmas Rock Night for forever, and
yes,
we finally get to have you on our stage.
We love Germany so much, so we're very excited to be playing Loud and Proud this year.
What else is happening this year?
Now, we're just recording our new album and excited about it. I feel like I say this every time, but oh my gosh, these songs are so good. You know, like we're like looking at each other, you know, like I can't wait to play this song. This next album it's going to be really special, I have a feeling.
I've never seen you put out a bad one.
Well, thank you very much. But when every single guy is excited, there's a good chance other people are going to like it too, is all I'm saying.
Awesome. Thanks again, Kev. Hopefully see you soon.
Okay, I appreciate you.
All right, you too. Good night.
All right, good night.
Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for more great music. And check out my blog page on the Solid Rock Radio website for my guests' social media links. If you've missed any of my past interviews, you can find them uploaded to podcast.solidrockradio.org. Have a wonderful week, and let's be kind to one another.